Whatever.
Are
I'm relaxed.
Like tissue boxes underneath your laptop? Is that what?
So
or this
I
iPad?
Had a tissue box, so I switched it for a shoe box under my iPad.
Oh, nice.
And I didn't trust the tissue box, so I just wanted to be stable. It's fine.
Wow.
I don't know. There's a countdown until we have to put the technical difficulty square up on your screen. They're like,
not
anytime I'm working not with the again. Great Monica McNutt, at some point, there will be some technical difficulty. You are not an IT pro. You're great at lots of things. Technology ain't one of them.
Hey. Today I did dabble in IT. We're using a different setup. I bet. Let's make a bet. We get through a show with no technical difficulties.
I would like to bet against that. Just.
Oh, man. Golly.
No way. We've already had.
That was before the show.
That's fair. That was two times before the show. Difficulties.
And already the insistent tiny hand of Alabaster is gesturing towards our bottom right corner for the podcast audience. We now have a rundown. We've invented a rundown. You've never seen this before in television or fake television, where we happen to debate nothing. Welcome to Debatable. That is Monica McNutt balancing her life atop a shoebox, I believe, is what we were told.
We
seconds
switched.
Before
yes, correct.
The show started. And that is Dominique Foxworth. In front of his empire of helmets, as you have come to know him. So, hello.
More importantly,
hi guys.
What shoes?
Okay, not a sneaker. It's a little Nine West.
Okay.
Little mule, little slide.
Business, Monica.
So, how long do you keep shoe boxes? Do you keep all your shoes in shoe boxes for until you get rid of them, or are the shoes new? Like, why do you have a shoe box? Is that where you keep your money? Is it a drug stash? What are we dealing with?
Happy 421, by the way. Yeah.
This shoebox is a part of my IT genius, so it stays in my office when I need it.
Okay,
so, I keep most of my sneakers.
So to be clear, it's a drug stash, everybody.
Alabaster reminding us, demanding us to acknowledge that we also have a clock.
Alabaster,
like a serial killer.
Yep, you beat me to it. That's murder handwriting right there. That's unstable person handwriting right there. Did you go through the rundown, Pablo? Did you do that already?
No, but let's do it, I guess. We have 45 minutes.
Most of our viewers are, I assume most of our viewers are literate. I don't think we have to run, like, can't they read it? We don't got to read it to them.
Yeah, so basketball is how I would describe today's show, Alabaster.
So love it.
Can we just get started, for the love of God?
We can, and actually, you know, here's my spin zone, not a rundown. It's a menu. Since we don't run through the entire down, so it's more of a menu where you guys are selecting things. So we've left stuff that was not ordered by you every single day.
Well, I will prove to you that it's not a menu by saying, let's talk T-Wolves.
Yeah, can we get some
Can
we get some market price Timberwolves to start here? What the hell does that cost? No. Let's get Alabaster. I actually am very excited to talk about the basketball that I watched, fell asleep with my contacts in while watching, woke up, and then was still excited about. So please, let's just get started with Kevin Durant if we could. Can
all
I
right,
ask
roll.
You of that? Yeah.
Yes, of course. Thank you for ordering the Kevin Durant. And our question is, how do you explain the Celtics shutting down KD for a second straight game?
I mean, this second half, Dominique, I'm so glad you're on this show today specifically, because defense in basketball is a thing that feels amorphous. We don't really know how to value it. We don't know how to, like, provide the metrics that convince anybody that one guy is better than another. But Monica, tell me that last night's second half in that Nets-Celtics game was not as impressive a second half of defense as you can remember in the last, like, two decades.
Great pump fake, first of all. Great pump fake. Before we go to Monica, the way that you eyed me down to get the safety to come to my side and then twisted and gave Monica a nice little hitch to see what she could make of it, that was really impressive. You're like, hey, basketball topic, I'm going to say football guy's name and then throw it to Monica anyway. Proceed,
Patrick Mahomes, no look pass to Monica.
Just like that. I honestly am still hoping to wake up from this horrible nightmare in which KD did not have a vintage performance, as I proclaimed over multiple shows yesterday he would. Because at this point in my career, I just root for my takes, if we're honest. Anyway, to the defense, though.
We all do that. Yeah, veterans.
Right,
savvy.
So they don't, like, I kept being like, okay, Nets are going to make some adjustments. There's two people coming at KD. Like, somebody else is going to be open. No. Like, KD kept trying to dribble and turn the ball over and took horrible shots versus two defenders. Like, the Nets literally do not care about anything other than stopping KD. And it's working.
Yeah. I think the what are they going to do grabbed my attention from what you were saying right there. Who's the coach? And is he going to do something? So, like, I'm hesitant. I think often we in sports media, if we don't know how to explain something, we say, hey, the coach is the reason why they're better. Or, hey, the coach is the reason why they suck. Basketball, to me, feels like it is not nearly as complex as football. Like, there's fewer people, fewer positions. So it seems easier to understand. But I don't understand it well enough to say why Steve Kerr – or not Steve Kerr – why Steve Nash is bad. But Steve Nash is bad. I don't know why. I can't pinpoint why. But I know he stinks. That's all.
Wait, okay, go for so look, the Kevin Durant end of the equation, right? So this is how it went for him. 27 points, that sounds good. And then you get into the numbers and it's like, okay, wait, 4 of 17 from the field, 0 for 10 in the second half, 6 turnovers, a ton of free throws to his credit. But he looked helpless in a way that I have never seen before.
They footballed him.
I know, and
they did football him.
After the game, Dominique, KD was asked about this, and he basically said, I'm being hit by two or three people off the ball, on the ball, every single opportunity for them to get physical, to grind down Kevin Durant. They take it. They grind up on him. They grind down on him. He is ground down to a very fine dust. And so the question, Monica, of like, what is Steve Nash's responsibility here? I do want to add this other part of the power dynamic into our discussion here. Kevin Durant's kind of the coach. Like,
kind of.
The guy who used to be the coach of the team, Kenny Atkinson, they got him out of there because the Nets wanted to be a superstar-driven, student-led liberal arts college of a basketball team. do we need a practice? You know, can we just have class outside? Can we just, like, hang out on the grass and talk for a while? They have had a team that has been led by Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, and the way that offense played in the second half reflected that.
I want to hear what Monica has to say, but I would like to put a bookmark in. I'm not letting you get away with that, Pablo. Monica, please tell him why he's wrong or something else.
I can't wait till that gets paid off. Here's the one thing I will say. This is who the Nets have been all season. It doesn't work as well in the playoffs, right? Like, yep. They ran up against probably the worst matchup in terms of what they could have done defensively in the early round. I think... The question if the Heat could have done something like this, yeah, but outside of Jimmy dropping 40-plus the other night, like, you question whether they could have kept up offensively. The Celtics are literally, like, the perfect matchup for the Nets. Like, the Nets are one of the higher ISO ball teams in the league coming out of regular season. Like, this was the formula. You got Kyrie back full-time. You got KD. We're going to bet on them, myself included, like, just because who they are. Oh, no, not happening under the Ime Udoka-led, defensive-minded Boston Celtics.
Yeah, I mean, I root for my takes like you, Monica, so I did pick the Celtics to win, so I'm very happy that it looks like they're heading in direction, but I thought it would be more fun and closer than this. A, the first thing, I'm not going to let you get away.
The first game was super close, Dom. Sorry, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the series.
Gotcha.
While the game felt close, the series, to me, doesn't feel like it's going to be close because it feels like the Celtics' level of defense and their, like, late game shot making.
Yeah, after last night.
It's something that feels like, I have seen it twice in a row, feels like it's not something that's going to change. And they could have won the first game, obviously, but they didn't. Anyway, Pablo, not going to let you get away with trying to scapegoat Kevin Durant. Like, okay, you can argue that he is the coach, as far as coach is concerned. You can argue that he is the coach, but he's not the coach. There's a man who has been the coach there for two seasons. Coach, do some coaching or don't be the coach. Like, I don't understand.
The
same when people try to throw LeBron under the bus for roster construction. Well, then construct a better roster. Do your job. You are the general manager. Someone figure it out. You don't get to get paid at this job and get the name and the title of this job without also catching the blame of this job. And maybe part of being a coach, not maybe, part of being a coach, particularly in a very personality-driven league like the NBA, part of being a coach is the personalities, dealing with the personalities and dealing with the relationships. And if you cannot develop a relationship with the players such that you can also coach them, then you shouldn't be the damn coach.
So that's
on Steve Nash.
That last point is where the Nets experiment has to go next, because it is clear to me, at least, that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving don't want a coach who's unlike Steve Nash, or at least they haven't until maybe this series. They believe, remember what they were saying? You know, we're all coaches. That was literally a quote.
I do remember that. Here. Yeah.
Right? Like, they don't want to be told what to do because, hey, for so long, and Monica mentioned this, for so long, all season, all they had to do was go ISO, and take turns, right? They will hunt mismatches and break down the defense on their own. They don't need some coach telling them, do this, do that, do this. No, they didn't need that. But now, because the Celtics, and this is what's crazy, Alabaster, I mean, Dominique, you were right about Jason Tatum in a way that I wasn't ready to admit when we talked about this last week. But smart. Jason Tatum guarding Kevin Durant and then switching with Jaylen Brown and then switching with Al Horford and switching with all of
Al
these
Horford
dudes.
Has
Marcus
been phenomenal.
Smart. Phenomenal. Yeah. Like, this is a team so, of dudes who are designed to stop Kevin Durant.
Oh, the one thing I will add on perspective for the Nets before Alabaster drops in here. Like, yeah, the series, whatever, this year. But, like, the whole trade thing was about a window. Yeah. And I do think that I don't expect to make a difference this year, Ben Simmons. But I do think going forward, there's a Ben Simmons piece in, like, the window of a championship run for the Nets organization. Not this year.
Do people do psychological evaluations based on handwriting? Like, I
yes.
think that's something out
it's a
there.
Whole thing. It's
I
a
think
thing.
We need to get somebody to do that because, like, the letters don't even look the same. Like, in the same word, please bring up the written one. In interjection, he wrote E, or I mean, across the three E's that he wrote, they all were different. It's incredible.
It felt like he wrote that because he had just murdered the person who was responsible for giving him the card where it's printed. But now the printed card's back. So, Alabaster, what just happened in your little box?
Sorry. I started running out of room, so I had to make the handwriting smaller to get it in. But I lost the original producer rejection card. Dominique, I am about to murder your take that it's Steve Nash's fault. Like, first of all, Kevin Durant brought in Steve Nash because he was his, like, player development assistant.
In Golden State.
Second of all, the whole thing that we've talked about, Kyrie being the most skilled guard ever, Kevin Durant being the most skilled seven-footer ever, they're supposed to be system-proof, where you just toss them the ball and they're isolation scorers.
Allegedly.
Like, this is the entire system and the operation that Kevin Durant built. We're not supposed to let him off the hook when he plays terribly. Like, this is one of the 10 best players in the history of basketball.
Okay.
Having to crush him when he's losing the first round.
A, you are producing the show, so you should listen to the show. let's be clear. Pablo said that I was blaming it all on Steve Kerr. I was not blaming it all on Steve Kerr.
Steve Nash.
I just was not letting
Steve Nash.
Pablo... Steve Nash. I just was
all
not...
All the same.
Yeah, I mean... Come
I was, wow, just, look the same. Exactly.
I was just not letting Pablo take Steve Nash off the hook, which it sounds like you're trying to do now. Kevin Durant does not need anyone else to pile on him. That job has been done. Have you turned on TV today? Are you reading any articles? I mean, were you watching the game? Kevin Durant is getting a sufficient amount of blame, but Steve Nash is going scot-free throughout all of this. And so my point is, your job is to coach the team. The title hasn't changed. The pay hasn't changed. The responsibility hasn't changed. Maybe this job, the way that you do this job is a little bit different than the way that you would do it on a team full of young upstarts who don't have any clout. But that doesn't mean you don't have to do your job. So maybe it requires you to build a relationship, build respect. And so the point that they say we're all coaches, I don't hate that. The best teams I have ever been on have been teams where the players participated in building a game plan because they then buy in and they execute it more effectively. So Steve Nash was in the right position to build this. And then all you do at that point is you build the trust and the faith that you have to build to tell them, no, let's try this. Like, you find a way to do it. That is your job. Just because you were hired by somebody doesn't mean, like, boards hire CEOs. The CEO still needs to make the decisions. You need to figure out how to get to galvanize the people behind your vision and not just stand back with your arms crossed and point at Kevin Durant when you lose.
So Dominique is trying to make it clear that we shouldn't let Steve Nash get off
or
scot-free.
Steve Kerr. Get Steve
I would like
too.
Dominique.
I would
like Dominique
to the carpet
to get off Steve free. You cannot keep messing up these Steves, man.
No, I'm not messing them up. I want all the Steves on the carpet. We need to bring all the Steves. You know what I'm talking about. Bring all them Steves
Wait
out.
A minute.
You need to answer for all you've done, Steves.
I am curious. Is this a producer interjection/response?
Oh, yeah. We
Counterpoint.
Have...
Counterpoint. maybe Kevin Durant shouldn't approve them trading James Harden for what's turned into essentially Seth Curry for the first two games of this series because Ben Simmons is back.
Okay, well here, but this brings us to the Ben Simmons end of things, Monica. This brings us to the Ben Simmons end of things, and I know you basically said already that this series is not a series where Ben Simmons is going to make a difference, and it's next year. To me, though, this is exactly the series that needs Ben Simmons. I mean, what do they need right now? Given all the problems on offense, the stagnation on offense, they need a point guard. They need someone to do things and run plays and move the ball because the second half was just watching Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving get locked into the trunk of a
flop
car.
Around. Yeah. Pablo, I don't disagree that I – okay, here is the differentiation. I agree with you that they need a healthy Ben Simmons who has been practicing 5-on-5 in contact for at least a month and is ready to play basketball. I don't care who you are. Like, do you jump on a moving treadmill? Usually not. Especially not a treadmill that is moving at this intense a pace. Even if you give me Ben Simmons. Right. Even if you give me Ben Simmons is healthy enough to magically defend Jason Tatum, which we're not going to act like is an easy task, even if you are a defensive player of the year type of guy. Now I need him also to be able to function and get banged up on by Al Horford, Marcus Smart. Can you handle a switch? In theory, yes. I just don't buy that he's in shape to make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's going to change the series. I think at the beginning I said that they've been footballing KD. And the point there is, like, the Patriots used to do this where they would go in and just openly commit pass interference or illegal touching throughout the course of the game and challenge the refs to call it every single time. The refs aren't going to call it every single time, and the opponent is going to get frustrated and try to do different things. And it seems like a similar strategy that the Celtics are running because KD is going to go to the line as much as he has. Like, they're fine with fouling him. You're going to have to hit these free throws, and they're challenging the refs to turn this into an ugly, terrible, unwatchable, herky-jerky free throw shooting contest. And the refs refuse to do that, which, like, is understandable. So they know that if you foul them every time down the court, they're not going to call a foul every time down the court, and it's going to make KD uncomfortable.
Oh, God, that graphic.
Dominique carrying for the podcast audience, pushing a wheelbarrow full of giant KD waters, jugs of KD water he's carrying. No, it is true, though. I mean, yeah, the Marshall Faulk approach that Bill Belichick used in that Super Bowl, just like hit him every time. Like, it's going to matter. It's going to add up. That is exactly what they're doing to Kevin Durant. And I don't know if other teams can do it. I don't. I look, there's also the Alabama.
Other teams? They're not going to get by this team. But go ahead. I'm sad.
Well, I just mean in terms of, like, has he been figured out? Like, the question of, like, we considered Kevin Durant. We had this whole discussion, Monica, me and Dominique, about how credible defense on Kevin Durant still results in him dropping 30. We're seeing that. Incredible defense results in him having an 0-for-10 from
illegal
the field
defense.
Sort of a second
well,
half.
Well, this the only counter I got on that is this team is, I guess in hindsight, poorly constructed that this works. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you gave me, take 3 years off of LaMarcus Aldridge and he's still viable and he's on the floor, like, you know what I mean? That completely changes the dynamic. Even if you give me a healthy Ben Simmons, like, that shifts the dynamic. But the reality of the ISO ball playing exactly into the hands of what the Celtics are willing to give up, and KD almost being, like, I can't even say he's being too stubborn because I'm not sure who he's supposed to pass the ball to. I mean, Bruce Brown and Seth Curry hit a couple threes yesterday. Like, I get it. But to me, now we're just looking at a roster that you question whether or not can contend for a title.
Well, they haven't figured him out. Like, no one can figure him out. I think he's in year 15, and he's playing a lot, and there's a hell of a burden
on
him.
Wait, Dominique.
Like, that's more realistic than anything.
Are you seeing a cliff? Alabaster, are we getting a cliff warning for Kevin Durant?
No, I am not.
I don't know. He's old, averaging 39 minutes a game. Most minutes of anybody in the league. He is coming off of a leg injury not 2 years ago. Like, adding up? Are we getting over?
He played MVP caliber ball while he was playing throughout the regular season. So I'm not going to
say that he's anywhere
near a cliff. I'm just saying that you have to kind of change your expectations.
A little gully, maybe.
No, there are little geographical
gully.
Or topographical changes in his future. I'm just saying you can't expect the same things from him. particularly when you guys have it. Oh, here we go with more alabaster.
For whatever it's worth, though, before alabaster jumps in, like, I still expect them to respond. I'm still waiting for a response.
Yeah, I don't think they'll get however swept, naive that might be.
Dominique, I hate to pile on, but I do have one question.
Pile on? I'm on the top of the pile. You hate to climb underneath?
Do you want to retract your statement from earlier this week that ISO ball is cool?
Oh, no, that, I don't want to
retract. Because now you want Steve Nash to coach him up in a system the Warriors to get him open shots.
This is a challenging thing with dealing with someone like you, Alabaster. Yes, someone like you. Is then you pick one sentence out of an entire essay, and then you try to make that representative of what I said. That's not what I said.
Your thesis.
I still.
I heard the thesis. That you settled down.
I'm done with you. I have
that was funny.
No found a take. And you're.
I'm glad you went there,
now.
Pablo.
Yeah, I mean, come on, someone like you.
Someone like you.
I didn't know what you were saying. I didn't get it.
I know you didn't.
Oh, who's that for?
I know you didn't. Adele's she's kind of like a Steve, but for singers.
I know who it is. Hold on. Watch this. Watch this. Ed Sheeran. Right? Am I right? Give me that. Give me that.
If we're playing Marco Polo, yeah, you're getting warmer.
We are playing. Yeah. No, we're playing a game. I like getting warmer. I know white stuff. Boom.
Check. Adele's good though, Dom. But okay, all right. Here we go. Other great game.
It's Ed Sheeran Shears.
She loves basketball. Sits courtside at NBA games all the time now.
She does. She's lit. I wonder.
Oh,
if she's
it's not
like
Ed Sheeran.
Kardashians.
Oh, it's Adele. Don't. It's Adele. Courtside all the time. It's Adele.
Oh my lord. Where you Alabaster, been, bro? I can't.
Multiple times.
It's Adele, right? Is it Adele?
It's Adele. Yes, it's Adele. All right,
we're
points.
We're gonna move on to more NBA games.
2 points for Gryffindor. Yeah, more white stuff reference. Yeah,
I don't watch that.
How do your expectations for the Bucks shift if Chris Middleton Gryffindor is forced to miss like extended time coach. With the knee injury?
Oh, Chris Middleton, welcome to the dramatic
play
in
hold
which
on,
we
hold
all
on, trivia.
Get injured in the postseason.
What is Chris Middleton's middle name? I discovered it today while I was
his
middle
wait,
or
up
first.
His Middleton name, his middle name.
I mean, you can give me the middle or first. Give me the middle or first.
I assume that his name was
Gryffindor.
Christopher Gryffindor Middleton.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
His name is James Christian Middleton. Thanks, basketball reference.
Outstanding.
This is a truly shocking revelation. Christian?
With a K.
I'm zooming right past James and right to the K-H Christian. By the way, Christian left the game. Sorry, Christian, to introduce your traumatic injury experience in this way. But yes, you sprained your MCL. We'll be undergoing an MRI today. And his departure from that game, and by the way, shout out to the Chicago Bulls. We thought you were a corpse. Mm-hmm. To be honest.
Definitely.
Like entering this postseason, if there was any team we felt comfortable looking past, it was the Bulls. And DeMar DeRozan has the game of his life. And the Bulls beat the Bucks after playing the Bucks real close in game one. And now the Bucks are, I would imagine, legitimately concerned that a team built around a big three mostly now has Giannis, and Giannis is exhausted.
Monica.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how concerned about this series?
I would say right now, like a 7.5. I think they beat. I think they beat the Bulls, but I think the way it's gonna go is going to. It is. It's again. Giannis cannot. Like the Bulls cannot stop Giannis. But how much of Giannis is required to beat the Bulls? It's like he's going to be exhausted. Like this was supposed to be the series where they laugh at the Celtics and the Nets beat each other up while they coast to a sweep. And now it's the opposite. The Celtics may be sitting at home laughing at the Bucks. And yeah, the Bucks have been outscoring opponents by 7.8 points per 100 possessions when Giannis and Jrue Holiday are on the floor without Middleton. But watching the game last night, man, it's gonna be harder than they think.
Go, Dom. Okay.
No, I'll give you some time to cook up the right answer. I'll filibuster. So I do. You
choose your right menu item.
Yeah, I'm not.
The moose bouche of Grayson Allen. Perhaps?
I don't know what that is. Again, are we playing the game again? Are we playing the game again?
It's like an appetizer, but it's a Steve.
Then call it an appetizer. I don't know what you're doing here. I don't know what a mushy bushy is. I can't afford it. But anyway, I think that they are. I think this series is not going to be a problem for them. But I think your point about Giannis, the fatigue and the wear and tear on him matters. But I looked back at the game logs from last season's playoff run when they won the championship, just to kind of see what my man mid-range James Middleton was doing. And he was in big moments, in important moments, in pivotal games, he was putting up big point numbers and also making big shots. And he is the guy that he's the number two, like a legitimate number two. And you can't take we focus so much on Giannis and how special he is, and the way that Chris Middleton has like risen in our collective zeitgeist has not been in the same vein as most superstars. So we don't think about him. I know we call it a big three, but we don't think about the Bucks as a big three. We think about the Bucks as Giannis and some dudes. But Chris Middleton, I mean, like, for real, when we talk about Giannis and then we talk about KD and Kyrie, like even Tatum and Brown, he doesn't have somebody. We don't say Giannis and Middleton, but I think it's fair to say that he means that much to this team. So they don't win a championship this year unless this MRI is super duper negative or he has a Giannis experience. You remember when Giannis' knee went the wrong way and then he came back and scored 40? So whatever,
that was as shocking as
he saw. They need to find those for mid-range James Middleton.
That was as shocking as hearing somebody describe Chris Middleton using the word zeitgeist.
What's wrong with zeitgeist?
Well done there.
It's just a real amuse-bouche of a word.
I'm not concerned about this. Oh my, amuse-bouche. I'm going to use that. I'm not concerned about this series. I won't say at all, but I'm not concerned about this series. Dude, when's the last time Nikola Vucevic gave you 10 out of 18 and 4 of 8 from 3? Like, yes, your boy DeMar DeRozan had an excellent performance, an out-of-body experience, sort of. But so did Vucevic. Like, he hasn't been that productive either. Like, I don't buy that. In terms of Giannis's body and the wear and tear, I do think he's like, if you talk to folks around the organization, they're all like, he's only starting to scratch the surface in terms of the way he takes care of his body, slowing the game down, like being able to hit a jumper a little bit here and there. I'm not really worried about Giannis. I actually think, funny enough, I know you were kind of joking, Dom, but I kind of think this does set up for a Grayson Allen, Pat Connaughton, like combo big series. If Middleton misses the rest of this series.
The poo-poo platter of Bucks roll guys is what Monica's ordering off the menu here.
Listen, early in the season in particular, especially before the trades went down, they were like really, really excited about Grayson Allen. And I do think, you know, he brings a little bit of that back. And it's enough to get past this series. Win a championship without Chris Middleton? I don't know about that.
Grayson Allen is a Milwaukee fan favorite. But if you need him to get a championship, if you're reliant on him to fill in for Chris Middleton, then I'm sorry. You know where your championship dreams have gone. People who like amuse-bouche really like Grayson Allen. And they like him more than his talent suggests that he should. And by those people, I mean French people, because that's where you can find amuse-bouche.
That's right. Also, people who love Ted Cruz, because Grayson Allen looks like Ted Cruz. And it's very unsettling.
That is unsettling.
Brutally foul someone who did not deserve to be fouled.
Have you seen Ted Cruz play basketball?
Oh, absolutely. It's an amazing video. Yeah, it's an amazing video. Monica McNaught, Ted Cruz loves basketball.
Yeah, I would tell you to Google it and watch the video now, but I'm sure given your experience with technology, that will result in some difficulties. So wait till the show is over and I'll send it to you. So you can watch it or look at it on your phone.
What, Dom?
I don't know.
For the record, we've been steady this show, like I said.
You got 18 minutes. You're out here with your chest out. You got 18 minutes. You might want to relax. That's a long time. That's a lot of minutes.
Just heat checking with Ted Cruz post moves.
I bet you won't watch the video, though. I bet you won't watch it.
Okay, I'm going to try it on my laptop. Hold on. Okay, I'm Googling it right now just because
you're
getting
right,
my
while
notes.
You do that, Alabaster, any cleanup we got to do on the Bucks and the Bulls? DeMar DeRozan was just, unconscious, and, good luck when that guy looks like that, I guess.
Kimmel exactly, versus Cruz, yeah. Blobfish? Is that what we're talking about? I got my technology working.
Close. Warmer.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the Sixers while we figure this out. I assume that's what you want to order next, Papa.
It is.
Our question is...
I left room for this.
Do you think Joel Embiid's buzzer beater last night against the Raptors was a cathartic moment for the 76ers?
Cathartic is... I often make fun of your cars, Alabaster. Yeah. Cathartic is exactly the right word for this. Keep in mind, the last time we had a playoff game in Toronto, Joel Embiid was weeping. He got imprisoned in
ugly
the Hall
cry.
Of Memes. He was ugly crying right there. You can see it. Kawhi Leonard, the ball bounces once, twice, three times, four times. Game goes to overtime. Raptors win the title. Sixers are eliminated. Joel Embiid is... I'm trying to think of how to put this. Because... it is a kind of love that carries with it just like, oh my God, I am emotionally aroused. I am excited in ways that are substantive and superficial. The substantive is the fact that Joel Embiid is unstoppable, had a terrible first half, amazing second half. The superficial, though, is the fact that he hit a turnaround three-pointer, yeah. Fading away, 0.7 seconds left. Would never expect him to do this again, but this...
You good over there? You good?
Oh, God. Oh my gosh.
Off the rail.
You can't do the sound, so we do voices, or do noises sometimes, but you can't do the noises when you're not on screen. Like the noise.
Well, that wasn't me.
The noise bit. You have to be on screen.
I thought that was you guys.
Then it feels a little too real.
That was not me.
Wasn't me.
Was me making those noises.
It might have been Alabaster. Mm-mm. It was a great shot. It was fun. I mean, I don't know that it was cathartic in any way. Did it feel better? Like,
no, not about that.
It felt incredible. You're making a lot. This is like revenge for the bouncing shot, right?
Allegedly.
Yeah, I don't know. This is not ending the series.
It was us overcoming trauma, Dominique.
Overcome the trauma, though. Like, you're still in a series against the Raptors. Like, the trauma could still come back. Like, the trauma could only get worse, you know? Like,
and you're supposed to beat this team because they're depleted.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Not cathartic.
Yeah.
Too much.
But
too much dip on your chip.
Oh, no. This chip can hold so much more dip than you realize. This chip is dripping with all manner of dip. 18 points in the third quarter, finished the game with 33 points. And it's I hate, look, the MVP thing, I get it, like regular season award, not postseason. But this is why Joel Embiid is a level beyond Nikola Jokic, who is incredible. It's the defense. It's the fact that the Raptors are trying to attack the rim. They can't because he's there. It's the fact that the dude can stretch the floor. It's the fact that when he drives to the rim, you can't stop him. I mean, there's just a level. Alabaster, I put it this way, because I can tell that my own personal psychotherapy journey is not being very convincing to Monica or Dominique. Watching this team, I watched them be down big at the half, and I was confident. I was like, oh, they got this. They got this. That is not a feeling I have had with the 76ers for years. Even though Joel Embiid had 5 points and four turnovers in the first half, I was like, nope, he's going to figure it out. And my God, I have never been so deliciously rewarded for trusting that process.
I don't know if you've convinced yourself of this foolishness. Like, I don't know what's more concerning. Is that you're acting like this means something or you really believe it? Like, they are beating up on the Raptors, a team that, like, maybe people thought would give them some problems, but they are not nearly on the same level as talent is concerned. This season for Joel Embiid and for James Harden and for whatever residual process lovers there are is about winning a championship. So your finger kissing and the vaguely sexual noises you are making, save them for June.
Vaguely.
That's my point. Save it. For June. Right now, chill out. It's not going to be cathartic. So let's say they knock off the Raptors. You think
and
they
then
end up,
what?
Yeah, you think that they knock out the Raptors, they lose the next round. You think this offseason is going to be chill and relaxed for them? No. No, 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 no. It ain't over. Yeah, like there will be a whole new psychological trauma for them to overcome. So
that's
stop
guys,
it.
Why are you harshing my mellow? I'm out here manifesting. I am out here living now the life that I have dreamed. I am manifesting, and all you're giving me is negativity.
No, because you said at halftime, I've never felt this good or whatever. I knew we were going to come back.
Total
playing the Raptors.
Confidence.
You're playing the total Raptors confidence. With no Kawhi. So how can it be cathartic if the guy who hit the shot, the difference maker in the series, ain't even there? Like Drake? You beat Drake? Congratulations. Drake?
Congratulations.
Drake?
I'm not going to lie. I wasn't sure they were going to come back, but it was cool that they did. Yeah. I was like, oh, they're going to let this one go. Okay, cool.
Who said that, Pablo, since I got to name these songs? Who am I referencing?
Oh, my God.
With Drake?
Drake? Well, there are a couple of suspects
right.
in this
done.
Murder
You're
mystery.
You're done. Nope. Get him out of here. Get him out of here.
I was going to say, to be fair,
I believe we're talking about Soulja Boy.
That's a really quick Google you did right there. That's impressive. Well Googled. Well Googled.
Hands free. Hands free during that answer and also during those
nope,
noises.
I knew you were going to get that. Just... I knew you were going to get back to that. So like, can you get a check mark so we can move on, please? 10 minutes for Jay Wright,
Superman that topic. What just happened?
And T-Wolves. We can,
nope,
hear,
we
you.
Can hear you.
We can hear
all
you.
All right. Technical difficulties. That counts,
not
Monica.
Me. Not
Monica.
Me.
Monica.
No,
that's Monica.
Not me.
You did
that
it.
That counts.
You did
that
it.
That counts.
That does not count. That has nothing to do with my
got
feet.
Him.
That has nothing to do with me. Ah, crap it. Come
I,
on.
I hit the wrong button unmuting my mic. All right. Here we go.
Because
here we go.
Wrong.
Next question. I think this is the meatiest topic we have today, but it got trumped by the NBA. What does Jay Wright's retirement mean for college basketball?
Nothing.
So a lot of people are tempted to go big picture on this and talk about how this is NIL, this is the transfer portal, this is a whole lot of
something.
It means
he's a lot more likable than Coach K. He didn't make a whole season about himself.
It is classic. Like, you know, you have that friend who's like, oh, man, it was your birthday? You didn't even tell us. And then there's the guy who's like, my birthday is in 6 months, countdown clock. Like,
oh, no, birthday Jay, week.
Yes, birthday week, birthday
month.
Birthday month,
what? Yeah. Birthday year.
No, Jay Wright, by the way, speaking of birthdays, Jay Wright is 60 damn years old and looks, I mean, yeah, I'm not the first person to say this, but that man is a speaking of ordering off a menu, that man is two snacks.
Mm. Just let you sit in that, sip it. Yeah. Have another drink.
Two snacks. Yes.
I feel
or
like you should snap
actually,
with that.
Like
why
a,
would
like,
you
have like
a snack
when you can have a whole meal? He could be a meal. He's an Italian meal. You know, okay.
Mm. Oh, he's one of. I'm gonna go cultural here. He's like one of those. You know, you get like high tea in England. You get like a those little tiny tea sandwiches. He's a bunch of those little snacks on a very shiny like cradle of snacks.
I don't know anything about it.
So ultimately, that makes him an amuse bouche. What's that word?
yeah. He's a amuse bouche. He's an amuse bouche. Of a man, according to Pablo.
Emphasis on that boosh. Damn.
I will say I didn't know he was a whole 60. He looks great.
So Jay Wright, who happens to be one of the greatest college basketball coaches of like the modern era, right? Two national championships, made four Final Fours, all of which came since 2009. Thank you, Alabaster, for the card. Like, he does. To me, this is a triumph of a guy knowing that he doesn't need this anymore.
100%.
And we need more of these stories. Like the entirety of sports. I mean, Dominique, we see this all across the board, right? Being old and still doing it is the modern day virtue. Tom Brady, LeBron James, Roger Federer, go down the line, right? Like you don't need to leave the game. You can do it forever. Why?
Why we don't know what he's going to do next. Like, it seems like all the reports suggest that he's not interested in an NBA job. This is not a setup to jump to that. He could be doing media. He could be doing something else. So, like, I just want to celebrate what we know to be true. He left, like, under normal circumstances. He didn't make the whole season about him. I respect that. I appreciate that about him. And he left on top, which, I mean, still pretty impressive. And
made a Final Four, yes.
The real reason, it'll come out, I'm sure, in the coming days. But I've been doing some asking around, some reporting. Ooh, and the real reason,
reporting.
The real reason why he's retiring is because he's afraid to go up against Georgetown again. Because the Georgetown Hoyas are so intimidating and dominating because coming off of zero conference win.
Wow. This is going to go dark.
Last year. No. Nowhere to go but up. So he's getting out before Georgetown comes back.
That dead cat bounce. Dead Hoya bounce. Bouncing right off that ground after falling out of a 15-story window.
Big bounce. I don't love, you know, in fact, so I was at the championship they won on the Chris Jenkins shot. Chris Jenkins is from where I'm from, PG County, stand up, whoop, whoop. But I remember being like, I'm going to root for Villanova in the name of the Big East. And then the next morning in the airport, I was so sick to my stomach that they actually won. Blah, blah, blah. You got to give Jay Wright his credit. But I think, honestly, one of the more exciting legs of this story is Kyle Neptune coming to take the head coaching position, who's a black head coach. I don't think he's 40 yet. Like, he left Villanova as an assistant to go take the head coaching job at Fordham, and now he's coming back to Villanova. And the Big East has been one of the better conferences in terms of having black head coaches. So that part, I'm really excited, Kyle.
And his name is Neptune, which is outstanding.
There it is.
Wow.
Like, that's an outstanding. I would like to trace it back at some point. Like, my last name is Foxworth, presumably because there was some white dude who had a lot of money who owned the Foxworths. I want to find the Neptune plantation. Like, where is the Neptune plantation? What part of the country?
Out of space.
I think you know where it is, and it's not Earth.
Oh, man.
This is like when a friend of mine tried to convince me. He was like, who was it? Oh, a friend of mine who's Peruvian. He was like, you know, this is pitcher for Cincinnati Reds named Johnny Cueto. He was like, you know what Cueto means? Rocket ship. And I was like, that is not how is there what? No.
The symmetry.
Why? The symmetry. No one's last name is rocket ship. We stopped making last names before rocket ships were invented. So too, I think, Neptune, right? Like, when did you guys are just naming generational
last names,
family trees after planets now?
I saw there was a tweet that since we're going away from sports, you took us to not away from sports. You took
last
us
names.
to your friends. We're at last names right now. There was a tweet a couple days ago that I saw that was pretty funny. That was like, you know, a lot of last names are based on the job that the people did at the time. So like 1,000 years from now, will last names be like, I'm not going to use the word that they use, but we'll say blog poster. Could you be like a Kyle blog poster 100 years from now?
That's fair enough.
A Monica IT specialist, because clearly
it would be pronounced itchlessness. Itchlessness.
Yo, that's sad. That's sad.
Oh,
like, yes, I am
Shoemaker.
I am
Shoemaker's a poppin' last name.
I am,
you know what? Great granddaddy. He made shoes.
Was a shoemaker. Welder. Welder's the last name. Yep.
My name is Warren Worthington Substacker IV. From a long line of shit posters on the internet.
That was the last name. That was the last
Substacker.
Name that I didn't want to use. That's
a good one.
Anyway.
That's a good one.
By the way, Jay Wright actually does have a job that he has announced, and it's my favorite job. No, Dominique, it's the best job.
What is it? Tell me.
It is special assistant to the university president. What?
I mean,
outstanding. All jokes aside, is making sure Villanova doesn't fall off a cliff is the job. Like,
I don't even know if it's that. No, Dominique, what do you think this is?
It's definitely that.
The job is BJ Wright. That's it. Like, come to 3 or 4 events a year. We want to keep putting money in your pocket so we can call you and ask you to show up to stuff. It's a great grift if you could get it. Isn't Coach K doing something similar where they keep it in his office, keeps stuff in his pockets? Like, it's cool. But when you retire, you don't retire to another job.
I got
to retire to just get paid.
It's a lot less volume from having to recruit kids and their parents and their families and navigate the recruitment portal. Or what's that thing called? Transfer portal.
I got to say, a bit of reporting here myself. I once shook hands with Jay Wright at like some charity event. He did that. He's like, I think the best person I've ever shaken hands with. He does the thing where he grabs your elbow at the same time, and he like immediately almost gains control of your entire body. Like he can move it wherever he. It's like, oh my! But I'm liking it. I'm really liking it. Yeah, I'm like, yo, you are. This is like a like you are you you are. I get why you're so good in living rooms. Like
I don't
just
like
the
elbow grab.
The Kino escalating, but also just like power, but also like you're in on it. Yes. Yes, handshake and little elbow grab. Mm-hmm.
Get your fingers off my triceps, Jay Wright. I don't like it. I don't. When somebody shakes my hand, shake my hand. I don't need you to also grab my.
Yeah,
my
but tricep. it is very like engaging. I will
it's
say,
like,
and it's
familiar,
not like a grab, but it's
yes.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like it's a very like, okay. Oh wow, you're interested in this. I've met Jay too. I got you.
What about a trap? What if they just laid a hand on the trap?
Oh, like that, like damn. You shake hands. Like, hey. A laying on of the hands.
Yeah, you shake and ooh, then you go left ooh. Hand on the shoulder and you shake.
Yeah.
How would you feel about that, Paul? Next time I see you.
For the podcast audience, that was a hand going on a shoulder and nothing else. Just in terms of how that gesture may have resembled, just know that that was a hand on an invisible shoulder.
I'll be the judge of that.
I was a high school athlete at one point who was getting recruited, and I had a coach, you know, you go for the dap, and you go dap hug. I had a coach, when I meet him, we go dap hug, and you always go like, you turn your head to the left. He turned his head to the right.
Uh-oh.
So we dapped and we cheek to cheek. And it was very uncomfortable. It was like a weird experience because I guess he was just learning. Like, he was a young coach, or like not a young coach, but a new coach. He's learning. I got to get these black kids to come play for me. I better learn how to dap. And he didn't get enough practice.
He was nuzzling you like Simba nuzzles Nala.
Yeah, so that's hilarious.
Awkward.
Okay, real quick before we run out of showtime, Luka returning?
Wow. With a minute left, Alabaster, Monica McNutt is ordering
Luka
Doncic.
Okay,
because
I'm
excited
for
this.
If Luka Doncic comes back tonight, then blank. Monica, the floor is yours for a minute.
If Luka Doncic comes back tonight, then the Jazz are in some real trouble. Because
so you forced us to this for that. Okay, just making sure.
Yes, I had to force you to have to. Not even it doesn't even matter if they win tonight or not, but like if Luka is playing well and available, they legit believe the Jazz can't make
enough.
Monica,
I'm sorry to cut you off. I'm sorry to cut you off. You got to give us
something
definitive.
I'm so excited for this series.
You got to give us something definitive. You can't
even matter if they win or not.
You can't
Monica
for the topic and then say they're going to be in trouble.
Okay. You're right. That was bad. You want me to say they're going to win the series?
For the record.
I want you to be definitive. That's all. I'm not telling you what your take should be. I'm just telling you to take a take. Take a take. Nine.
I'm just really excited for Luka to be back.
Six.
Like that's where
five,
I was at. I
four,
just want to see Luka in the playoffs.
Three, five, two, one. Oh my gosh. You missed the buzzer beater.
Luka!
You didn't even shoot the buzzer beater. You're holding
Monica,
the ball.
Monica, no, Dominique's mixing metaphors here. Monica ordered a dessert. She's just enjoying her Luka sundae.
Mulling it over.
Yeah, she's like dribbling some sprinkles on it, just like admiring it. You know,
caramel sauce.
Finish your dessert. Don't be out here ordering desserts with me, and then you're not gonna eat it. I just wanted to taste it.
I've consumed enough calories already.
That was $26 cake. You better clean the plate. Yes!
Oh, there it is.
Difficulties.
No, that's not me. They did that on purpose. That's not me in real life.
Difficulties.
How could you, Alabaster? I promise I'm looking at myself. Set this up.
For the podcast audience, Monica McNutt is just a black screen, and she is
that's what they call me.
That it's not her in real life.
This is I'm a producer. It's, I promise I'm
that's my nickname. So they call Pablo a moosh boosh, and they call me black screen.
Wow.